Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I thought they were big today. I mean, real big. You know that when you come in here, you better be ready to go. I thought John Gruden had a nice plan. I thought Derek Carr really did a, you know, he's been playing. He played well Monday night and started off well, you know, in this game. And I thought our guys just kind of, you know, again, put the hammer down, as Mitch would say. What's going on out there
today? Andy Reid after the game yesterday. Yeah, that's right. Chiefs still out there finding ways to win. Wasn't a pretty win yesterday. Wasn't like a real, you know, right home Chiefs type of win that we're used to over the last couple of years with Patrick Mahomes under center. But it's a win nonetheless. It's survive in advance, get that victory, move on, put that in your back pocket, and now get ready to face the Baltimore Ravens, who were able to beat, and I say able to beat, I don't know that they were able to beat, they won the game against the Arizona Cardinals, more because the Arizona Cardinals became the first team since 1974 when the NFL moved the goalpost back to behind the end of the end zone to attempt three field goal attempts from inside the five-yard line while trailing. I mean, it's a bizarre number, but the Arizona Cardinals did as much yesterday to help the Baltimore Ravens win that game than the Baltimore Ravens did. So it'd be real interesting to see how they come to play on Sunday out at Arrowhead Stadium, which we'll talk to Quentin Lucas, mayor of Kansas City, in 1 hour. Texted me last night. He goes, this may be our first legit matchup of the year. We'll see what happens, and I think so. I think Baltimore is going to be a pretty good test for the Kansas City Chiefs. You didn't have much of a test with Jacksonville on the opening Sunday, and yesterday the Raiders played good for a quarter, and you know that was about it for the Oakland Raiders yesterday. So we may actually get to see a team really kind of bring the wood against Kansas City with a good defense and a quarterback that's just fun to watch, man. Whether or not you think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL, he's fun to watch, man. He is a fun quarterback to watch, Lamar Jackson, for the Baltimore Ravens, and we get to see him on display in Arrowhead next week. Ryan and I will be out at that game, and we'll kind of say hi to everybody in the stadium. We'll wave, and you can see us, and then you know, we'll talk Chiefs on Monday as well. And we'll also talk Chiefs on Friday at Rally House Town Center. We're having our show on the streets, I guess you could say. We're taking the show on the road, and we'll be at Rally House on Friday from 6 until 10 in the Town Center location out in Leawood, 119th Street. Ryan's going to be cooking hot dogs for everybody, and we're also going to be giving away a Patrick Mahomes jersey out at Rally House on Friday, so you have to come out and register to win that Patrick Mahomes jersey. And each hour, we'll be giving away a Rally House gift card as well for you to spend on anything in the store. But the Patrick Mahomes jersey is going to be the big one that we're giving away on Friday. I thought the defense was pretty good yesterday. I know a lot of fans are going to look at the game yesterday again defensively, and I think Ryan and Josh are probably in the same boat, you know, together on this one. They didn't quite see what they wanted to see out of this defense again. And look, I understand that, but I think what we saw yesterday with this defense, I'm fine with yesterday. If they're going to play like that and give up 10 points, I'm good with that every single day of the week. But I thought it was very similar to what we saw a year ago defensively. I don't think through two games so far that I've really seen anything different out of this defense than what we saw over the last couple of years with this Bob Sutton defense. There's still obviously some growing pains, and I'm not going to put a full stamp on this thing until the end of the year and really start to make a full decision in how I feel about it until kind of week four, let four games get under their belt. But I thought they were fine yesterday. I thought the defense did give up some big plays. Obviously, the 51-yard run you'd like to have back. You'd like to have the first drive back where, you know, Oakland went down and scored points, and then their second drive they went down and scored some points. Obviously, you'd like to have a couple of the big plays back. But ultimately, I think the defense went out there and took advantage of opportunities and made plays and got three turnovers in that game yesterday. Now, the one with 8.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, the up for grabs touchdown that Derek Carr threw, probably not a good pass. He'd probably like to have that one back, but the Chiefs still made the play on that. And we can sit around and kind of nitpick all we want, but at the end of the day, they gave up 10 points and turned the ball over three times. And I think ultimately for me, That was good enough for yesterday's game. What I liked the most out of that game yesterday, and I don't know, Ryan, if you kind of feel this way, I liked the way Tano Passanio played yesterday, man. There was one running play that he was, you know, on the outside contain. He held his ground, threw his lineman out of the way, made the play, tackle for a loss, got a sack in that game yesterday, got a quarterback hit in that game yesterday. I thought Tano Passanio really played well yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs. Oakland may have been focused on taking out Frank Clark and Chris Jones. I thought had a very nice game yesterday on the defensive front. But I thought Tano Passanio, for a guy I think a lot of us had written off, because that's what we do in sports. We write guys off before we allow them to, you know, have the opportunity to have success. I think he played well yesterday. I really like what I saw out of him.
I don't want to be a wet blanket about the defense. I just feel like we're going to get a false sense of security about this defense coming off of a game where you only allowed 10 points and you went three quarters without allowing a score. Because
sure.
To me, and look, one of my least favorite narratives in sports is you didn't win, the other team lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a lot of that yesterday. Like, I saw a lot of missing open receivers. I saw a lot of, you know, guys just dropping balls for the Raiders. They were shooting themselves in the foot throughout the day. And so, like, while I agree that you did see some steps forward from the defense, I think you get lulled into this false sense of security, because there were more times than not that it wasn't that the Chiefs did something to affect the play. It's just that the Raiders seemed to not get the play and not execute it the way they needed to do. So, again, tip of the cap for them being able to come out there, get punched in the mouth, and be able to respond after,
sure,
after going down 10-0 early. But I'm not really willing right now to say, yeah, I think this is starting to trend in the direction that I'm comfortable with, at least, you know, because I still don't really feel comfortable. Like, if it came down to a last-minute drive and the Chiefs' defense is going to need to get a stop, I still don't have that sense of security yet. And I think mostly it's because you haven't had really, you know, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, they've been somewhat no-shows, really. And, I mean, you saw a couple of flashes, you know, in game one, and you saw Mathieu make a couple of plays in the second game. But outside of that, like, I think what you expected versus what you've gotten over two games hasn't matched.
In a high-scoring offensive league, though, now, they held the team to 10 points yesterday. That's the second fewest points given up on Sunday. I'm not counting the Dolphins and the Patriots blanking them. That is not an NFL team. But you look at what New Orleans did. They were held to 9 points by the Rams yesterday. And the Chiefs, the second fewest points given up on an NFL Sunday. I'll take that, man. You've got to have baby steps and growth in this defense. And I think yesterday was a big growth step for a lot of these guys on defense. And even Chris Jones knows, hey, we were good, but there's always room for Jello.
I feel like collectively as a whole, we can all do better, especially defense. Gave up 100 yards on the ground. We got to cut that in half. We got to definitely cut that in half and correct some errors in the run game, and we definitely can get better.
And Chris Jones is right. If you want to nitpick yesterday, the 100 yards of ground from a defensive rushing standpoint, but 51 came on one play. I mean, and you can't take plays away. I sound like Dick Vermeil here. If you take away six plays, we win this game 27. Right. I get all that. One play gave up half the rushing yards yesterday. Take out that rushing play. How were they against the run? And they were pretty darn good. They only gave up another 50 yards or whatever it was rushing, save that play that they gave up, that big play. But it was a big play. And a better team, you give up a play like that, they probably end up scoring a touchdown, because that was the same drive where Carr threw that interception in the end zone to Breland. Does anybody else get confused? Breland Speaks and Breshad Breland, like,
that's
every time they
you
say Breland.
That's,
am I the only one on that one?
That's just you.
Confused about that. Coming up, we'll hear a little bit of what Frank Clark had to say about his performance in yesterday's game. And a star is down for the Chiefs. So what? They're still setting records. We'll tell you about them next.
Let's go in the morning.
System, but, you know, I believe, like, he challenged us. He challenged us to learn it as best we can and to go out there and execute. And for the most part, I believe, as a defense collectively, we've been doing a great job doing that. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to learn a new defensive system, but like I said, collectively, I believe, you know, we're doing what we have to do.
There's Frank Clark after the game yesterday right here exclusively on 610 Sports Radio, talking about the defense and the improvement that it made from week one to week two. And I thought it made really good improvement from week one to week two. I thought the run defense saved the one play of 51 yards was a lot better. I thought the pass defense was a heck of a lot better than it was. And after, you know, getting gut punched, really gut punched. I mean, that's the test of a man. You get gut punched, man. It's not how hard you fall, but how hard you get back up or whatever Rocky used to tell us back in the day, you know. That's what we saw yesterday out of this defense. It would have been really easy for this defense to cave in and go, man, we're already down 10-0. Screw it. Let's mail it in and let's just get to week three against the Ravens. But they went out there for the final three quarters of that game and really stepped up their game, and I thought did a very nice job in the second, third, and fourth quarters of that football game not to allow the Oakland Raiders to really get anything going. And if the Oakland Raiders did get something going, hey, the defense came back and made a big-time play, got a turnover, and did some really, 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 really nice things. So I was very impressed yesterday with the strides that this defense took. Does it need more? Sure, it's going to need more. And if they're going to beat the New England Patriots in Week 14 and then beat the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game, yeah, the defense obviously is going to have to play better. We know that. But the good news is, man, we don't have to worry about that until week 14. We don't have to worry about this defense beating the New England Patriots until week 14. And by week 14, this thing will be churning on all cylinders and ready to go to Foxborough and shove it right up Tom Brady's keister where the sun doesn't shine. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Make baby steps each week. Get better from each week to the next. Did they get better from week one to week two? In my opinion, yeah, they did. They got better from week one to week two. Now, you got a different challenge on Sunday afternoon. Hey, Lamar Jackson's coming in here, guys. He's pretty good. He's fun to watch. Will they be able to contain Lamar Jackson from his running abilities and his throwing abilities? Man, he's played pretty good at quarterback so far in the first two games of this season. So will they be able to contain him? Because I think this Ravens defense, obviously, is going to play better than the two defenses the Chiefs have seen so far in the Raiders and Jags. And so if the Ravens defense plays better and is able to do some things against the Chiefs that, you know, the other teams weren't, is this defense going to be able to live up to their end of the bargain? I think this is going to be the first game this season where we're going to really have to see the Chiefs play complementary football and see a team that, you know, the offense feeds off the defense and the defense kind of feeds off the offense a little bit in this game. So I think a very intriguing matchup coming up Sunday out at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs, you know what, without Tyreek Hill, I said it last week, this is an irrelevant injury to me. I think they're going to be just fine offensively without Tyreek Hill, and they were just fine offensively without Tyreek Hill. Other guys were given opportunities to step it up, and other guys went out there, and well, you know what they did? They stepped it up. And we saw yesterday 7 plays for 20 or more yards in that game for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's an impressive number. Because I think a lot of us would have thought, well, without Tyreek Hill, there's no way that this team is going to go out there and have the big-time explosive play. And they did have the big-time explosive play. From the beginning of the second quarter, where DeMarcus Robinson goes 44 yards for a touchdown, then Mecole Hardman goes 43 yards for a touchdown. You had a 3rd and 10 where Robinson gained 23 yards, but a holding penalty moved it back to make it 3rd and 20, boom, 43 for a touchdown. 2 minutes to go in the half, Robinson 20 yards receiving. You see a 39-yard touchdown pass with 40 seconds to go in the second quarter for DeMarcus Robinson for a touchdown. They were amazing yesterday from an offensive standpoint in the second quarter, and really amazing with the big play. And we've seen now 2 weeks in a row, two wide receivers have career games for the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw Sammy Watkins in week one against Jacksonville. And then yesterday, how about DeMarcus Robinson coming to play and really stepping it up and having a big week and having a career week for himself? And he talked about it after the game.
Every week can be a big week for any of us guys. We don't go out to the game thinking it's McCole week or Sammy week or it's my week or Kelsey week. It could be anybody week or it could be all of our week. Today, a lot of us got in the end zone and we made a couple plays today. And it felt good.
And DeMarcus Robinson is one of those guys that you look at and you see and you think to yourself, okay, this is a guy who probably didn't have an opportunity until Tyreek Hill went down, but really took advantage of his opportunity. And that's the difference between a team that's good and a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl. How are your backups on the roster? How are guys, you know, I don't know, 35 to 53, 40 to 53? Can they go out there and play and really have you not miss a beat? And that's what DeMarcus Robinson did. It's a reason why I've been really high on DeMarcus Robinson and have talked about DeMarcus Robinson for a while now on this show and saying because I like the way that he goes out there and he plays, and I like the fact that the Chiefs got a guy that I know for a fact one other team in the NFL absolutely covets and would love to have him as their number one or number two wide receiver. And for 2 years, the Chiefs have not budged and have not traded him. Now you see why. Because DeMarcus Robinson is a guy that can play at this level and I think can be a consistent player at this level. And I think yesterday was going to be his day to shine. You're the Oakland Raiders. Tyreek Hill is out of the game. What are you going to do? All right, based on what happened last week, Sammy Watkins is the guy that we've got to eliminate. And that's what Oakland did. They keyed on Sammy Watkins yesterday. They took him out of the game. Hey, they even pretty much took the Chiefs' running game out of the game yesterday. But what happened? When guys were given an opportunity, guys stepped up. DeMarcus Robinson ran great routes. DeMarcus Robinson got open. DeMarcus Robinson made plays when given the opportunity to make those plays. And when you watch an offense that has the ability to make plays with their fourth or fifth weapon heading into the season, maybe even their sixth weapon heading into the season, that's got to scare the bejesus out of everybody out there in football land going, holy crap, it doesn't matter who the Chiefs have. As long as they have Patrick Mahomes, they're going to be good. And we saw yesterday what I was preaching all last week, and while I was a big proponent of trading Tyreek Hill, you don't need that guy. You've got other guys that can step up and play good football. And we saw it yesterday with DeMarcus Robinson, and Patrick Mahomes hit on that after the game yesterday.
That's how we roll as a team in general. It's just whenever guys get their opportunity, they step up and make plays. It's not soaking in like someone else that going down. It's about getting in and the next guy up mentality. But we're ready. Hopefully, get Tyreek back here soon. But at the same time, why he's not here, those guys are going to step up and play.
And Patrick Mahomes feels confident. I mean, he goes, "Well, Tyreek Hill's not here. We got other guys that can go out there and step up and play." And that's the way he should feel because he's the guy who generates the offense. He's the quarterback. And I'll continue to say it as long as, you know, I'm alive on this earth. As long as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are together, the skill position guys really don't matter. And we saw that yesterday. We saw it really in week one as well. Yesterday, Patrick Mahomes goes for over 400 yards for only the second time in his career, and Tyreek Hill is nowhere to be found. He's not on the field because he's hurt and he's banged up, and DeMarcus Robinson is your guy. And I think DeMarcus Robinson, to kind of put this into, you know, baseball terms a little bit, DeMarcus Robinson's kind of the Whit Merrifield of this organization. Given the opportunity, finally given that opportunity, took advantage of that opportunity in a big way yesterday and really showed that he's a guy that you can rely on. Because what Oakland did yesterday in eliminating Sammy Watkins and taking him out of the game, well, somebody better step up, and he did. And DeMarcus Robinson stepped up, especially in that second quarter. And Patrick Mahomes talks about that second 15 minutes.
We were just hitting on the plays. I mean, it was the same game plan as we kind of stayed at the same game plan, called the same plays. We hit on them in the second quarter, and we missed them in other parts in the game. And so, I mean, we had a great quarter, but as an offense, it was too much sloppiness, I guess you would say, and we weren't being efficient as we usually are.
And he can say that all he wants, and maybe he's right about that, and I want him to say that kind of stuff because I want Patrick Mahomes in this offense to never feel satisfied, no matter how much they produce, no matter how many records they set, no matter how many different guys have 100-yard games that you weren't expecting to have 100-yard games. I still want them to walk away from these games and go, man, we left a lot out there. We can be better, because that's what's going to continue to drive them. If they go out there and they believe, hey, man, we've arrived, we're good to go, that'll be the one that hits them in the face. They've got a tough schedule coming up now with Baltimore and obviously that Week 14 matchup with New England that everybody's looking forward to. You have to keep the foot down on that gas and continue to find ways to get better and continue to find ways to make plays. And even without Tyreek Hill, that deep ball was there, man. That deep ball was there. That shows you how much speed that this organization has, and they really made it a point to throw that deep ball early, and they made it a point to throw that deep ball often, or did they?
I don't think it was any point to try to prove that we could do it, I guess you would say, without Tyreek, but it was just running the offense the way we run it. I mean, that we're not going to change what we do. I mean, obviously, we want Tyreek out there. He's a one-of-a-kind player, someone that's special on the field, but we're going to run our offense the way we run it, and guys are going to step up and make plays when their number's called.
And that's what you love, man. Guys are going to step it up and make plays, and when you got guys on your roster as the fourth wide receiver or fifth wide receiver that could be starters for other teams in the NFL, that's when you know you have a sound roster and an opportunity to really do something good. I don't know how many other teams right now in the NFL can look around and say, we lost the fastest guy in the league, we lost the best deep threat in the NFL, and we're going to be just fine. There's probably maybe New England can weather a storm like the Chiefs weathered with Tyreek Hill going down and still really not miss a beat. It's a credit to Patrick Mahomes. It's a credit to Andy Reid. And it's a credit to all of those guys in that room that nobody knows who they are that evaluate all this talent and find guys like DeMarcus Robinson and keep guys like DeMarcus Robinson on their roster or believe in a guy like Sammy Watkins or believe, you know, in a guy like, you know, when Travis Kelce was drafted and nobody wanted to touch the guy. They believed in these players. They believe in this talent in this locker room. And that belief and that talent is going to carry these guys while Tyreek Hill is out. So truly a remarkable performance yesterday, I thought, by DeMarcus Robinson, and a really, really good performance, obviously, by Patrick Mahomes as well, to be able to sling it around and to trust those guys to be there when he needed them to be there. And those guys were there for Patrick Mahomes yesterday. Coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, if you know the player of the game that Cody gave you on yesterday's Royals postgame show, we had a little bit of confusion last week with this. We had people suggesting Sammy Watkins. He's not on the Royals.
Player.
It's got to be a Royals player that Cody gave you yesterday. We'll give you a shot to win some Topper's Pizza. 913-576-7610 is the telephone number. 913-576-7610. If you know who the player of the game was for the Royals yesterday. Plus, I saw a Chiefs fan do something yesterday that quite honestly has to stop. We'll tell you what it is next.
Fesco in the morning.
Now for the player of the game, brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry, four generations of distinctive jewelry. Cody gives you a player of the game each and every day on the postgame show after a Royals win or loss, I guess. I don't know how I set it up that way. Either way, Cody's going to give you a player of the game. You lock it in the memory banks. You tell us who that is at 7:45 the next day, and you walk away with $25 to Topper's Pizza. You get it wrong, it just rolls over to the next day and keeps rolling over until somebody wins. And each winner also going to get qualified for the grand prize, a $500 gift card to Mazarese Jewelry at the end of the month. Jacob is up in Kearney. Jacob, you were locked in on some Royals baseball. Who was a player of the game Cody gave you yesterday?
Mondesi.
Let's find out.
And a liner into the gap in right center field. Mondesi may score. That ball rolls all the way to the warning track. Mondesi flying around third, loses his batting helmet. And into third base, sliding head first is Soler. And it's 1-0 Royals.
Jorge Soler, the player of the game yesterday. Not a lot to cheer for as the Royals throttled over the weekend. They lose the final game of the series, swept by the Houston Astros 12-3 yesterday. But Soler 2-for-4 with that triple, also that RBI as well. Off to Oakland, start of a 3-game set today. Tanner Roark versus Sparkman. For the good guys. So Cody will get you ready for the game starting at 6:00.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, it is our weekly feature called Time's Yours. You have the opportunity to weigh in on what you saw yesterday out in Oakland and what you've seen through the first 2 weeks for the Kansas City Chiefs. So grab a phone line, 913-576-7610, 913-576-7610. We do Time's Yours coming up at 8:00. We do that every Monday on 610 Sports Radio. I had somebody on Twitter tell me yesterday, I used to call when you guys would take phone calls. Well, here we are. We got the phone line. Yeah, we do this every Monday.
I lied to the people, by the way. Cody will not get you ready for that game at 6:00. I forgot
West Coast baseball tonight.
He will be on at 8:00. So Royals pregame starting 8:00.
That's right. Get a little Binkley action going on tonight from 6 until 8. So you got some football action coming your way on 610 Sports Radio with Jay Binkley. I'm sure manning the booth. Of course, the A's and Royals. How about that? Right after the Royals or the Chiefs played the Raiders out in Oakland. Kansas City-Oakland kind of connection going on out there. So very nice.
Do you think the series will be Oakland 28 and Royals 10? Feels right.
The final score, the couple of games they play out there? No, I don't think that as all. So grab a phone line now. We'll get to those coming up in a couple of moments. So yesterday, we're running around town. A lot going on. We got birthday parties. We got soccer games. And we got softball. A regular old Johnson County Dad Sunday, right? Right there, right in the middle of the day. Perfectly timed for everything. And so at one of the events, and quite honestly, I can't remember which one, there was a father there. And I looked at this dad and I thought, oh my God, somebody has to put a stop to what you are doing right now, because you shouldn't be doing this. And what it was, the father was wearing a brand new, you could tell it was brand new, D. Ford jersey. Of all jerseys to wear in Kansas City, especially right now in September of 2019, we are literally just about 8 months to the day removed from D. Ford lining up offsides and costing the team an opportunity to potentially go to the Super Bowl. And this guy's wearing a D. Ford jersey around town on Chiefs game day. And I don't believe he's doing it to be ironic or anything. I believe he's doing it because he got it for like $30 on the clearance rack at Kohl's or something like that. But even if that jersey is on the clearance rack at Kohl's for $30, that's one of those jerseys that you probably look at and say, nah, I think I'm going to pass. I don't think I'm going to take a swing at this one and put this one on my credit card. I don't think this is one that I necessarily have to have. In fact, when I saw that D. Ford jersey yesterday, I went, what? That's verboten. Here in Kansas City, there are few jerseys that you cannot wear when it comes to Kansas City sports. And I would imagine for most people like me, D. Ford is pretty high on that list. Like, even if you had that jersey, that's one you keep in the back of the closet. If it's $30 at Kohl's today, that's one you leave at Kohl's. Even if you have Kohl's cash, you're not buying that jersey. D. Ford, Lynn Elliott. I'd even throw Steve Bono on the list of verboten jerseys in Kansas City. And then from a baseball standpoint, that's like throwing on your Nathy Perez jersey and walking around town and going, I'm a Nathy guy. Like, at no point in time should you ever, going forward, wear a D. Ford jersey. Of all the players and guys that are on this team right now, D. Ford is the last jersey I would be caught out in public wearing.
Which is like recency bias on this one? Because I don't blame the whole thing on D. Ford.
The what thing?
I don't blame the whole AFC championship.
No, I don't either. I don't either, but you know, like a lot of the city.
I mean, jerseys
right?
are expensive. I'm only going to wear it 16 times a year. I'm gonna get my wear out.
Not out of D. Ford. I don't care if jerseys are expensive. There are certain ones you just can't wear. And I'm telling you, this was a brand new jersey. You could tell. Like this was
like
right.
He just took the tag out.
Yes, huh? This was right off the rack at Kohl's. This was right off that clearance rack. And if you're going there and you want a Chiefs jersey and you're trying to save a few bucks, I get that. But the D. Ford jersey, that's throwing money away. That's a waste of cash. That's one that in Kansas City you don't wear. Now, if you're wearing a 49ers D. Ford jersey and thought that was cool, fine, whatever. I'm not against that. But the Chiefs D. Ford jersey to me is like one that just it brings back bad memories. And you know I'm not a guy that blames D. Ford for that loss. But I look at that jersey and I just had an immediate, was that? Like moment. Standing there yesterday, I'm like, why are you wearing this?
I mean, 785 has a good point here. What if it's your what if your little girl bought it for you? Like, what if she worked really hard, saved up all her allowance, finally found a Chiefs jersey that she could afford to buy for you? Well, and it was D. Ford.
I would say thank you, and I'd either leave it in the closet or take it back on a Tuesday when she's at school, you know, your lunch hour. Take that thing back.
I think you're wearing it.
Can't wear that.
I think you're wearing it.
Can't wear that. Or whoever went with your daughter to buy that jersey needs to say, yeah, let's save our money. It's like, I don't know if your kids are old enough quite now yet, Ryan, when they get like a $5 bill from somebody, they immediately want to go out and spend that money, right? Like, ooh, I just got $5 from grandma. Let's go out and spend that money. And I'm thinking, why do you want to go spend that money? Put that in a savings account. Earn interest compounded over the next 10 years. That'll turn into $6 just by sitting in the bank. Why do you want to go out and spend that money on something you don't need? Somebody should have taught her a financial lesson at that point in time and put a stop to that and not allowed her to go out and buy that jersey.
Wear whatever you want, people. Don't let Bob jersey shame you.
No, I am going to jersey shame a D4 jersey now. That is no longer an acceptable jersey to wear. Just like people duct tape Matt Cassel. Like, if you wanted to duct tape the D4 and put Clark on the back, hey, I'm good with that. I like a good duct tape jersey. I have no issue with that. I do have an issue with D4 because I think the majority of Chiefs fans believe he's one of the major reasons why.
Maybe that guy's last name was Ford.
The Chiefs, it's not. One of the reasons why the Chiefs did not win and have a chance to win the AFC championship game. Like, I think in 20 years, Ryan, D Ford is going to be coming on the show like we had Lynn Elliott on the show, and we will absolve him from all of his sins.
What's that?
But until that point in time, like, people hear the name D Ford and they think he's running the wrong way against Frank Gore, and then he lined up offsides in the AFC championship game on a play that Tom Brady threw an interception that would have iced the game for the Chiefs. Like, that's just a no-no in town. You cannot wear a D4 jersey.
I mean, I'm fine with that. Don't let Bob jersey shame you.
No, I'm gonna. I'm in a jersey shame all day on D4.
Andy Reid out here stadium shaming Oko. His thoughts on the final game they're playing in Oko.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been a small part of that. There have been some great games here. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to miss it. There's some things that come with that. I mean, this year we didn't have to dodge sewage in the, you know, in the locker room or anything. So, I mean, there are things that come with an older building that you have to deal with. And but the tradition is pretty awesome.
It's cool that they didn't have to dodge turds this year.
I think Arrowhead's about the same age as the Oakland Coliseum, and we've never had to dodge turds there. And that's an older building. Kauffman's an older building.
Sometimes
we've
you
never
just
had to
make
dodge
excuses
turds there.
For things, you know.
It's an older building. Fenway Park has been around for quite some time now. I don't hear about any turd dodging that goes on there.
The basement does smell pretty bad.
Have you heard of any turd dodging at Wrigley or Dodger Stadium these days?
No. Oakland's about the only place I hear about turds.
Oakland, I think because Oakland is technically under sea level, so the water pushes the turds out onto the field.
So happy trails, Oko Coliseum.
I'm going to miss the Oakland Coliseum.
I never got a chance to get out there, nor will I miss that opportunity.
Will you go to Vegas?
Probably. It looks awesome.
It does.
But I'm not a huge Las Vegas fan. I need about 24 hours of Las Vegas.
That's about it for me. Like, the older I got,
I'm sick of this place and everyone in it. I'm out of here.
I haven't been there in like 10 years, right? And if I never go back to Las Vegas, I think I'll be okay. Coming up, the time is yours. 913-576-7610. Grab a phone line. We get your thoughts. You weigh in on the Chiefs. Next.
What's that?
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.